Now tonight the question of how will the restitution affect the race relationship? We can learn a great deal about what the restitution will do in this regard when we go back into the scriptures and find out and learn, consider God's original law and purpose and will relative to race relationship. So we go to Genesis, the 25th chapter, and I'm going to read just a verse here, and then we'll go to another reference for a few more verses. I'm going right through the scriptures and giving you what was the Word and the will of God, and of course, we know that the Word is not going to fail. It's going to be fulfilled. So we read from Genesis 25:23. The Lord said unto her, that's Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people. Genesis 25, verse 23, two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. I want you to note this word, separate. Here were two people that came from one mother, and God says, I separate them. Then he says, the one shall be stronger than the other. Turn now to Exodus, the 33rd chapter, and I'm just going to hit the high spots here because there's so many references relative to this. In Exodus 33:16, now let's begin verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, and this is Moses talking to the Lord. He says, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. All right, here we have Moses. And he says, consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, God speaking back to Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I am thy people, now note this, thy people, have found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separate. Now, as I said, we can find out, we can discern and learn a little bit about what the restitution will be in regards to races when we consider God's original law and purpose regards to races. We find here again, so shall we be separate, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So we learn these people, God's people, the Isaac sons, are to be separate. Then we turn to Leviticus in the 20th chapter. And we read the 22nd verse. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments. This is for the nation, of course, not the church. The church isn't saved by the law. This is for the nation, the people, God's people, the Israel people. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Quite a significant statement, isn't it? That the land doesn't spew you out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. I'll read on here. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowl and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, nor by fowl, nor any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Quite clear, isn't it? And quite definite. And quite severe, too. Now let's take another book written by Moses. This is Numbers 23:7. And this records the prophecy of Balaam. We're not going to consider all of them, but just this one in chapter 23, verse 7. And he took up his parable, this was Balaam, the sorcerer, and said, Balak king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, a people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. So you have this repeated practically every one of the books of Moses, that these people were to be separate. In fact, Joshua says they were sanctified, and they were set aside, and they were to be separate from all other people. And then Balaam continues, he says, Who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Well, if our last end is something desirable on the part of, as it was here on the part of this man, why, it can't be too bad, can it? No, it can't be too bad. He saw the end of this people whom God had blessed. Now, Deuteronomy. And there are many references in Deuteronomy, but we'll take begin with verse 7 of the 32nd chapter. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. The unfortunate thing is that they're not doing this. Verse 8. Now what are we to teach? What are we to tell? What are we to instruct the children and the grandchildren about? Here it is. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. 1 Kings 8, let's begin with verse 1251. Here's a beautiful prayer. This really thrills your soul as you read it. It's quite lengthy, of course. It's by Solomon. We'll begin verse 51. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call upon thee, call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them. Now this is what I want you to know. Thou didst separate them. Now if restitution means restitution, and it does, then there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. Now, inheritance is quite something quite precious, isn't it? Something quite important. And it is with the Lord. As thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread out to heaven. That's some precedent, isn't it? That's some precedent. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice. And then we have the blessing that he pronounced and the exhortation to the people, pleading with the people to honor God's word. Now, briefly, let's consider prophecy. This is, of course, the history. This shows God's law and God's order. Now we turn to prophecy. We find something in Isaiah, the 50th chapter. Now, this is a long chapter. It deals with the fall of Babylon, the judgment of Babylon. And in verse 4, for instance, we read, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah," that's not Jewry, "together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion." And they did. They did. They found Zion. They came from Europe, Germany, Great Britain, Scandinavia. They were going to ask the way to Zion with their faces to the word, saying, "Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten." And thank God, that covenant is not going to be forgotten. It's not going to be altered or broken. God is going to see to that. Now, as we go on into this chapter, you have the judgment upon the Babylonian system worldwide and, of course, in our nation. And, of course, the judgment begins right here. The judgment upon Babylon begins right here in this kingdom nation. So look at verse 16. "Cut off the sower from Babylon." Now, that's not the literal city of Babylon, because that's never been rebuilt. This is a Babylonian system. Look at verse 16, Jeremiah 50. "Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest." In the time of harvest. Jesus said the harvest was the end of the age. "For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land." Quite interesting, quite significant, isn't it? Now, this is what you would expect. This is what you have to expect. According to God's law, God's order, God's word, originally, as he separated the nations, separated them, sanctified Israel, set Israel aside, and again declared that they were to be separate. Even Balaam the sorcerer saw that they were to be separate, dwell alone. Well, here you have the restitution, the judgment upon Babylon, and in the midst of this you have, "They shall turn everyone to his people, and they shall flee everyone to his own land." And the reason apparently will be because of the oppressing sword. Room for a lot of thought there, isn't there? Room for a lot of thought and meditation. God's word isn't going to fail. No, it isn't going to fail. Not one jot nor one tittle fails in the word of God. It's going to be fulfilled. I read something in Job. In the last verse of the third chapter, I read, "For I will cleanse their blood that have not been cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." Now, how is he going to cleanse the blood? I don't know. I don't know. Now, we temper some of these scriptures, of course, with other scriptures. We compare scripture with scripture. We know that over in Matthew 8:11, it says they're going to come from the east and the west and sit down in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom are going to be taken out. Now, there's an interesting thing about this word here, cleanse their blood, and the blood here would almost indicate to refer to a spiritual cleansing and regeneration. Now, we realize and we know that a person as a member of the body of Christ, he's in a higher order, and in the body of Christ, it's not race, it's not male or female, you're in the body of Christ. That's a higher order. But for the people of the earth, the earthly people, there's no question what there's going to be a separation. And I believe it's going to be just as we read in Jeremiah. Another verse is Obadiah, verse 18. Here we have the judgment upon Edom, upon the Reds. We read, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Here you have the destruction of Edom, or Red. And then another reference, Zechariah, the 14th chapter, in verse 21. We read, in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of the Lord. Quite a thorough cleansing, isn't it? Quite a thorough cleansing, quite a separation. That's the restitution. Now, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, I remind you of this. You're familiar with it. All I need to do is to remind you. It says that he separates the sheep and the goats. He separates them. Well, who are the sheep? We know who the sheep are. That's the Israel people. So, there will be a separation. Now, of course, in a sense, in a degree, that separation is already apparent. You can see that separation. But you know, too, that these people that were set on the right were spoken to this way. Come, ye blessed of my Father. And we know who was blessed of the Father. You begin with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Israel, and all through. Constantly, repeatedly, it was this people that was blessed. Now, they were separated, one from another. Over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, we have a passage that's often quoted to the individual Christian, and certainly there is an application here that the Christian should be separate from the world, separate from the things of the flesh and the devil and the world. And it says, be ye separate. But I want you to note that this reference is actually a reference referring to Israel. It's a quotation from the 26th chapter, verse 12 of Leviticus. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now there is a sense where this applies to the nation. And this is a quotation from the old scripture where it was directed specifically to the Israel people to be separate and that God would dwell among them. And that is what's going to take place in the restitution. And we should begin to praise God and shout and rejoice that the restitution is on. Yes, it is. It's on. Now, there's going to be quite a bit of breakdown in it, but the restitution is on. Not only do we have this in direct teaching and precept and law, but we have it also in the illustrations and the examples and the patterns set forth in the Scripture. Let's turn to Ezra, the 10th chapter. We read that when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sorely. Suppose this is going to happen again? Ezra 10, verse 1. And then we read that the priest, one of the priests, spoke, and he says, "We have trespassed against our God and have taken strange wives of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing." And we need some people today that can see a little hope and see a little light and have a little understanding. "Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God." You say, well, who is going to make people tremble at the commandments of God? God himself will take care of that. Amen. He'll take care of that, brother. When the time comes for people to tremble, brother, they'll tremble. Yes, they will. "And let it be done according to the law." Now, that's why we're going to have people that know the law. And would to God the young people and the middle-aged people do today, in fact, all the people, would to God they could see this and what the future is going to demand of us who have light on the Word. Now, God's going to do the shaking. God's going to make the people tremble. Then they told Ezra, they said, "Now you arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee, be of good courage, and do it." Then arose Ezra and made the chief priests and the Levites and all Israel to swear that they should do according to this word, and they swear. Then we read that Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber. Then in verse 7 we read they made a proclamation throughout the nation and Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem, unto all the children of the captivity that they should gather themselves together unto Jerusalem, and that whosoever would not come within 3 days according to the counsel of the princes and the elders, all his substance should be forfeited and himself separated from the congregation of those that had been carried away. Well, you say, well, how's that going to come about? Well, I'll tell you how it's going to come about. God is going to put such a heavy hand upon the people and upon the nation that that's the only way out. And we're getting there. We're getting there. And there are millions of people today in this nation, if they could hear the word of God, they'd say, that's what we want. Yes, they would. Well, he arose and they made this proclamation, and they said, you either come and you take part in this and conform to this, or else you're going to forfeit everything you've gotten and you're going to be isolated and exiled. Why? Because of the pressure of God Almighty upon the people. Well, they gathered themselves together in Jerusalem. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed and taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. This priest stood up and he said, you've sinned.
Thank you, Pastor Stadscliff. Today's message, A Separate People, is available on a professionally produced cassette.